Amen, amen. All you folks out there watching tonight, welcome. God bless you. Join in, and we'll have church service here. We've got two or three in here, and the rest of them out there, so we can have a meeting tonight. Amen. All right. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Revelation, chapter number 21. Revelation 21 and verse 1. Revelation chapter number 21 and verse 1. The Apostle John said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. He said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst to the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Amen to the reading of God's holy word. I got this today, and I want to read it for you. This is happening, as you know, in Italy. And this is the epicenter, was until it moved to New York. The epicenter of this coronavirus, this horrible thing. Listen carefully, though, to what was sent to me. "Never in the darkest nightmares have I imagined that I could see and experience what has been going on here in our hospital for 3 weeks. The nightmare flows, the river grows bigger and bigger. At first some came, then dozens, then hundreds, and now we are no longer doctors, but we have become classifiers on the treadmill, and we decide who should live and who should be sent home to die, even if all these people have paid their Italian taxes for life. Until 2 weeks ago, my colleagues and I were atheists. It was normally because we are doctors and we learned that science excludes the presence of God. I always laughed at my parents going to church. 9 days ago, a 75-year-old pastor came to us. He was a kind man. He had severe respiratory problems, but he had a Bible with him, and we were impressed that he read it to the dying and even held them by the hand. We were all tired, discouraged, emotionally spent, and even more emotionally spent when we had time to listen to our feelings. Now we have to admit, we humans have reached our limits. We cannot face making more and more people die every day. We're exhausted. We have two colleagues who have died and others have been infected. We realize in the midst of all we are doing as humans, we need God. And we begin to ask for his help. Whenever we have a few free minutes, we talk to each other and we cannot believe that as fierce atheists that we are now every day in search of peace, asking the Lord to help us resist that so we can care for the sick. Yesterday, the 75-year-old pastor died. To date, despite having had more than 120 deaths in 3 weeks here, and we were all exhausted, destroyed, he had managed, despite his conditions and our afflictions, to bring us peace that we never expected to find. The shepherd went to be with the Lord, and soon we will also follow him if it continues like this. I have not been home for 6 days. I do not know when I last ate, and I realize my uselessness on this earth, and I want to take my last breath to help others. I am happy to have returned to God. While surrounded by the suffering and death of my fellow men." And thus we have the testimony of a doctor in northern Italy that's been treating these people from COVID-19. And firsthand on the first line, the firing line, they're in doing the work day in and day out. observing the suffering, the death, the sorrow, the dying that this world can offer up. If you'll notice, the Apostle John said this. He said, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "I make all things new." He said, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." The Lord Jesus Christ is the book of Revelation. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Can be viewed in two separate ways. One, it can be viewed in the sense that Christ reveals to his people, as he did to John, what the future holds. But it can also be viewed in the sense that we see Christ now in a complete way, a way that we could not see him while he was here in the flesh. The book of Genesis and the book of Revelation encompasses time as it relates to man. Notice he said in verse 6, "I am Alpha and Omega. I'm the first and the last." These, of course, are the first and last letters in the Greek alphabet. So the beginning is in Genesis and the end is in Revelation. The book of Genesis chapter 1 talks about the creation of the heavens and the earth. Revelation 21 talks about the creation of the new heavens and the new earth. Genesis chapter number 1 verse 26 talks about the first Adam reigning on this earth. Then in Revelation 21:5 we have the last Adam reigning in glory. In Genesis 1:5, we talk about, the scripture says, the night and the seas were created. But in Revelation 21:1, no more night and no more sea. In Genesis chapter number 2 and verse 18, a bride is brought to Adam. But in the book of Revelation 19 verse 7, the bride is prepared for our Lord Jesus Christ. In Genesis chapter number 2 and verse 9, a tree of life is to be found in the Garden of Eden. Then in Revelation 22 verse number 2, a tree of life in the new creation. Genesis 3:14, death and curse. The death and the curse is brought down upon mankind. But in Revelation 22 verse number 3, no more curse, no more death, no more tears. The book of Genesis 3:15 says there's going to be a conflict between Christ and Satan, the seed of the woman and the seed of the devil. Revelation chapter number 20 verse number 10, Satan's final doom is sealed when he's cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Genesis 3 verse 23, man is driven from God's face because of his fallen condition. But in Revelation chapter number 22 and verse number 4, men will see the face of Almighty God. In the book of Genesis, it says in Hebrews 11 verses 13 through 16, the believers are looking for a city. Then in Revelation chapter number 21, it is the holy city presented as it comes down out of heaven. In Genesis 22 verse number 7, they said, "Where's the Lamb? Where is a lamb to be offered as a sacrifice?" In the book of Revelation chapter number 22 verse 3, the Lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he reigns forever. In Genesis 3 verse 1, Satan utters the first lie, begins the lying on this earth. Then in Revelation 21 and verse number 27, there's nothing that makes a lie that will ever enter in to that beautiful city. Thus we have the beginning and thus we have the ending, as the Word of God encompasses all time, past, present, and future. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We have a beginning. God has no beginning. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Revelation then outlines God's program for mankind. Revelation declares a blessing upon humanity. Chapter number 1 of Revelation verse 3, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." That's me, amen. I believe the words of the prophecy of this book. Revelation 14:13 says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Blessed again in chapter 16, verse 15, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Chapter 19, verse 9, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Then in chapter 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. That's me. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Amen. Revelation 22, verse 7, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Amen. Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. The Bible that produces blessings, that promises blessings. I don't know of another book in the Word of God that promises more blessing than the book of Revelation. From the beginning to the end of it, it's a blessed book. Do you believe that book? Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the Word of God? God's Word has been given to us, and God's Word is the foundation of our soul. The book tells us in chapter number 21 that there'll be some no mores. I like the no mores of Revelation 21. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. I'm glad for that. I'll tell you, I don't believe it could be heaven if we were there thinking about earth and our loved ones that did not go. How could it be heaven if you think about a rebellious family member or someone that you knew in this world and you know they're not there? How could it be heaven forever and ever to be thinking about that one? The scripture says that the memory of the wicked shall rot. It shall perish. They shall be no more in the minds of God's people. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I'm glad for that. How much crying is done in this world. This night while I'm preaching to you, how much crying is going on right now. If we as a simple human being could understand and fathom all of the suffering and the crying and the sorrow in this world, it'd drive us insane. There's only one that can handle that kind of sorrow, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, no more death. Hallelujah. Revelation 21, no more death. No more of your babies taken from you. No more husbands taken from the wives. No more wives taken from the husbands. You'll never carry another casket to the graveyard with the body of a mother or a father, son or a daughter, husband or wife, someone dear and near to your heart and soul. Oh, death, where is thy sting? It's gone, dear friend. No more sorrow. Hallelujah. Sorrow is man's lot. Man is born of woman, is a few days and full of sorrows and full of trouble. Nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. I've watched people suffer in pain. I've watched them moan and cry out to God in pain. I've seen that. I've been there. And I understand what that means. It's gone. No more pain. For the former things are passed away. Hallelujah. If the only life you'll ever know is this life, you don't know what life is. If the only world is this world that you'll ever know, you don't have a clue what world is. You have no idea. Let me add a couple of more things in here that we find in Scripture. No more sin. I'm glad for that. What a day that will be. I can't imagine in my soul tonight what it will be like to know there is no sin. Your sin nature is gone. No sin will ever come through your mind. It'll be nothing but pure holiness between you and the Lord. Amen. Revelation chapter number 21, verse 23 says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. This is a light that you don't see with your eyes. This is a light you see with your soul. This is the light that reaches deep down inside the darkness of a human soul and lights it up, begins to show you the way, the true way. The Bible says in John 1:9, he was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John 1 verses 3 and 4, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So that light, that life is light to my soul. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them from my hand. John chapter number 8 and verse 12, then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen. In John chapter number 12 and verse 46, he said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness. This Bible says right here in chapter number 21 of Revelation, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Can you imagine how far God has gone? How long it has taken for a man to be able to dwell with God? When God made Adam and walked with him in the cool of the day, there was fellowship with the two. He couldn't walk with an angel like that. He couldn't walk with a cherubim like that. He couldn't walk with a seraphim like that. But when he walked with the man, he could receive from the man what he could receive from nothing else. He made man to have fellowship with him. He made man to enjoy him. He made man to love him. He made man to walk with him. And one day we'll do that when God abides with man. Notice it doesn't say that he's going to abide with the angels. He's not going to abide with the seraphim or the cherubim. We read over there in the book of Revelation chapter before, he sits on a sea of glass. There's a throne on that sea of glass, and there's 24 elders before that throne. And night and day, 24/7, they cease not crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. It's just like Isaiah chapter number 6, when Isaiah saw him high and lifted up. It was the year that King Uzziah died. The Bible said the seraphim cried, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That holy, holy, holy means apart, separate, apart, apart. But he's coming back. He's coming to us. He'll no longer be apart, separate, apart. We will be able to look into the face of that eternal being. We will enjoy the life, everlasting life, that shall never come to an end. We've been given the promise of that right now with the earnest of the inheritance, the presence of the Holy Spirit. I have eternal life living inside me tonight, and that cannot be taken away from me. Hallelujah to God. One day we'll see him as he is, and we'll be with him, and he'll be with us. Listen, without God, heaven, whatever existence there would be, it doesn't make any difference what it is. Without God, it would be absolutely pure agonizing existence. Can you imagine? Eternity, and all you have is yourself. Can you imagine? Eternity, and all you have is a creation. But with God, with this eternal, eternal, eternal being, he gives us that life of God. And to enjoy him, to see him, to fellowship with him, and to love him like we do now, that love will be purified. The life we have now will be purified. My soul will be purified. Hebrews talks about the spirits of just men made perfect. One day I shall see him as he is. My hope is laid in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. In the Lord Jesus Christ is my hope and my faith tonight. And I believe in the Son of God. The book of Revelation doesn't scare me. It excites me. The second coming of Christ doesn't scare me. It excites me. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. When's he coming back, preacher? I don't know, but I know one thing. He's coming for me, and he's coming for you. And if you're born again, he's going to take his bride to meet him in the clouds. And let me tell you something. When the book of Revelation talks about Christ coming for the bride of Christ, he's coming for someone that has a special relationship with him that no one else in the family of God has. Who's his bride, preacher? It's us, folks. It's the church of the living God. He's coming, and he's going to take his bride. He's going to shout our names, and we're going to meet him in the clouds. Preachers, all this stuff that's happening now, all this virus, and all this, is this the prelude for the coming of Christ? It may be. I hope it is. It would be wonderful if it was. And I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter to me one way or the other. But I know this. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I know that in the latter day I shall stand upon the earth. I know in whom I have believed. And I know He's coming again. He said, if I go, I'll come again to receive you unto myself. That where you are, where I am, there you may be also. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus Christ said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Lord Jesus, we believe you tonight, and we believe in you tonight. We trust you, we love you. That's what our life is about. For to me to live is Christ, the apostle said, and I am tonight of the same faith and the same persuasion. May God add His blessing to His word. And for those of you that heard it tonight, maybe you heard it this morning, let me tell you something. The only thing that stands between you and God, the only thing that could possibly stand between you and God, is your own personal lack of faith. If you would put trust in Him tonight, if you would call upon His name, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be saved. You're watching this thing online. Many of you are alone. Nobody's with you. There's nobody going to be pressuring you. Nobody's going to drag you to an altar. You're just sitting there. You're listening. And it's just you and God. Is God speaking to you? Is your heart opening? Is He leading you by His word? If He is, why don't you pray to Him tonight? Why don't you ask Him, Lord Jesus, save my soul. Father, I pray for every soul that heard this. Lord, I extend to them the offering of salvation. May you save them in Jesus' name. And for Jesus' sake, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll meet again Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. We don't know what's going to happen. We have no idea what the president's supposed to do. I think he's supposed to let us know something tomorrow. But you can be certain of this. As soon as this thing is lifted, I'm going to be here, and you'll feel a vacuum as I come through that back door. I'll be here. I'm looking forward to meeting with God's people. Amen. God bless you.